Yo, and welcome to the 38th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I am your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp, and I'm joined today by one very special temporary guest host. Joining us is Aaron Palmer, aka Nidorina.
Hi.
A very special episode for you today. Now, normally we have two special temporary guest hosts. Anya was supposed to be joining us for the first time in a while, but unfortunately they had to ditch, but that's fine. If you listened to Tag Team Podcast last week, you heard Aaron on it. She did a wonderful job, so I know she's going to carry the role of two people here. The plan for today is we'll get to know Aaron a little bit better with some rapid strike questions. We're going to talk a little bit about shuffling, because if you're on PTCG Twitter, you've heard about it, of course. Then we're going to talk about representation in the trading card game, or potentially lack thereof, and then some questions from Twitch chat. As always, we are live on twitch.tv/mellow_Magikarp. So Aaron, how's your last week been?
It's been good. I traveled back home to visit family. Thanksgiving was this previous weekend or previous week. And other than that, it's gearing up to be a really busy time at the library. So just been super busy at work and doing the day-to-day thing.
That's awesome. Is home like driving distance for you? Do you have to fly or do you walk, I guess? I don't know how close you are.
I moved to Atlanta last year. I was living in Mississippi, lived there for a couple of years. And from here it's about like 5 hours or so. So we just drove. Sometimes I fly. It kind of just depends.
Okay. So I have an important question because you're from the South. Last week, we were on the pod. We talked about Thanksgiving stuff. No one was from the South, so they all disagreed with me on this opinion. But what is the best Thanksgiving pie?
The best Thanksgiving pie, in my opinion, is pecan.
Okay, that was a left field. I was not expecting that, but I'll respect that opinion. I'll take it.
What is the correct or assumed answer of people from the South?
The correct answer is sweet potato pie.
Oh, sweet potato pie is great.
Okay,
see. Don't give me wrong.
Thank you. See, everyone else was like, why would you ever eat that? But I'm a sweet potato fan. That's so good. None of this pumpkin stuff over here.
Yeah, sweet potato is definitely superior to pumpkin. I would agree with that.
So we're going to get into those rapid strike questions. You're going to have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can, just to get to know you a little better. Some Pokemon related, some not. But no explanation, just straight off the dome, whatever you are thinking. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, am I ready? Now I am. All right, here we go. Question number one. What is your go-to movie theater snack?
Definitely Chewy Sweet Tarts.
Riffle Shuffle or Mash Shuffle?
Mash.
Disney, Cartoon Network, or Nickelodeon?
Disney has Star Wars. I have to say Disney. I'm sorry. Disney has Star Wars.
If you could beat anyone in the TCG, who would it be?
Danny Altavilla.
What color sleeves do you use?
Pink Dragon Shields.
Favorite tournament city you've been to?
Oh, that's hard. This is a really hard question. Oh my gosh.
It's always hard when you're on the spot, too.
Yeah, I would have to say Daytona. That one's always really fun.
Juniper, Sycamore, Oak, or Magnolia?
Sycamore.
Favorite deck you've ever played?
Pika Garb.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I would want the ability to teleport.
Rate your karaoke skills on a scale of 1 to Beyonce.
Somewhere in the middle. I sing for story time, like, pretty much weekly. So, I can carry a tune.
Okay, that's pretty good. And that is time. So that was 10 questions, 10 out of 20. That's, I'm not gonna lie, that's an F. But, not bad. So
yeah, it's just hard to answer questions like that on the spot. But that was fun.
I mean, that's the best part for me, because I don't have to answer them. It's just like... Some of them are tough. Some of them are like, why are you asking me this? Even though you know the answer, like, deep in your heart. So I got to ask, did the singing come before or after becoming a librarian?
Definitely after. like, I don't know. I think that some people just have, like, the natural ability to either, like, stay in tune when they sing or not. And I was lucky enough to have that. But I definitely have learned a lot through my peers about singing, because if you're pitchy when you're performing, it's not very fun. Even kids notice that.
That makes sense. Even as a kid, you're kind of like, that's a lot of notes that you shouldn't be hitting.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and get into the topic that's been all over PTCG Twitter lately. And if you're not on PTCG Twitter, be sure to follow me at @Mellow_Magikarp. Or Aaron, what's your handle?
My handle on Twitter is dumb_librarian. But every other social media platform, I am Nidorina.
There you go. So go drop Aaron a follow too. Or just avoid PTCG Twitter. That's not the worst decision in the world, honestly. But we've been all over shuffling lately. So we're going to, first, I'll defer to the guest. If your opponent offers you their deck, or you offer your opponent your deck, riffle shuffling, which is the type that, like, makes the loud noise for anyone that's unaware. I don't know how to better explain it. Is that acceptable to riffle shuffle your opponent's deck?
I think that some people would say yes to that. I personally would not. That's just not the way that I shuffle. I don't think it's, like, so terrible if it's done correctly, but I could see why people would think that it's unacceptable. So I think, in short, it is just generally probably not a good idea unless you ask first on the off chance that someone is going to be upset by it.
I agree 100% on that one. I'll never riffle anyone's deck because I never riffle my own deck, even. It's just, like, kind of a why to me. But yeah, this is an anti-riffle your opponent's deck podcast. I know a lot of people spend a lot of money on their decks. Even some standard ones. Mew right now is like $250 for the full deck, which is PTCG pricey. Yeah, I don't know. People are like, oh, you don't damage the cards. I know some people in chat are gonna say that right now, but I definitely think preferably don't do it to my deck. Just give it a quick little mash or whatever you have to do. But yeah, I'm 100% with you on that one.
Yeah, I think that, like, Tate brought up a really good point, which is a sentence I'll probably never repeat. but he brought up a really good point when he said that, like, you kind of have to expect it to happen. I'm not saying that that makes it okay by any means. But, like, keep that in mind that not everybody has I don't want to say manners, because I don't think people who ruffle shuffle are necessarily rude by any means. But not everybody agrees on this topic, and so you kind of have to expect that somebody might do this to your deck, and keep that in mind when you're selecting cards for it. But I think that if you go into a match and you're super protective of your cards, if you just... you know, when you offer your opponent to cut, you can specify, please don't riffle.
I think that's always a good thing, right? Like, I think we always neglect just talking to your opponent like they're a person. It's sometimes a good move. So I definitely think it's something. Yeah, you just, like, do you mind if I do this? And I don't know, just it's we ask consent for so many other things, right? Like, I mean, as a content creator, like, people come up to me and they say hi, like, cool. But there's also, like, the, you know, like, handshake versus hug versus, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, normally we ask, right? You don't just walk up to someone and hug them. And it sounds stupid because it's like their body is a very different thing, but it's like, we're so used to asking for a lot of things. Why not ask for little things as well?
Great. And, you know, like, it's very clear that this is a, like, divisive topic. And I think if anything, that just proves the need for communication, whether you're someone who likes to riffle because you think that it's, like, the best method for randomization, or you're someone who is protective of your cards and you want to preserve their quality and, you know, get a lot of longevity, or you're just generally uncomfortable with it. I think, like, communication is just, like, the bottom line, because obviously it's, for some reason, one of the more divisive topics in the community.
Yeah, the amount of people who... we're getting very aggressive was super interesting. And it's hard to tell tone over Twitter, of course, because Twitter's already kind of a meme. But, like, it was surprising to see.
Yeah, it was also like the length of the conversation. I feel like it was like a multiple day thing, which whenever that happens, it's always interesting to watch how it sort of devolves over time or evolves over time, depending on the topic.
I would definitely lean towards devolving on this one. It got a lot of circles over and over again.
Yeah.
And I do have to throw this one out there too, because my podcast, so I can say whatever opinion I want to, and y'all listening, you keep tuning in, so you're gonna have to hear it. Pile shuffling. I despise pile shuffling with a passion. And it's like, yes, I'm aware you have to count your deck. Sure, that's fine. But anyone out there who pile shuffles between games 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 at a regional, I'm just gonna think, why? Why are you wasting your time? It is you don't lose cards in between games. Or you shouldn't, at least. That seems like one of those things like, how? How are you losing a card in between game 1 and 2? So yeah, I'm so anti-pile shuffling. If you want to count your deck, sure. But
I was always told that that was like the best way to randomize your deck. And because I'm an incredibly gullible and rather small-brained individual, I just like never questioned it. But in retrospect, thinking about it, like obviously mashing, in my opinion, is just the best way. I have kind of small hands, and so it's not only the most efficient method for shuffling for me, but it's also just, I cut the deck 3 times. You could very easily kind of measure your progress and how much you're randomizing it, I guess, if that makes sense.
no, that makes complete sense. And for anyone who's not aware, pile shuffling is the one where you put the cards in piles, right? It's like 6 piles of 10 or whatever to make sure you have 60 cards. But like, you're not randomizing, like you said, you're just putting the cards out there. So if I sit down at the start of a match, I know my 11th card is, I don't know, my basic that I want to start. It's very easy to know, okay, the 11th card is going to be here. I can shuffle the deck in this way, and we're good to go. You're not randomizing anything. You know where the cards are going to go because they're going in a very specific order, even though they're upside down. So I'm not a fan.
Yeah, in retrospect, it kind of makes me cringe thinking about any time I've ever been in a regional and pile shuffled in front of someone else.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, I do understand if people want to do it at the start of a match, you have enough time and you want to make sure your opponent from last round didn't steal a card. Sure. Apparently that does happen, because I posted on Twitter that never happens, and a bunch of people said it happens to them multiple times, which I'm okay, cool. Apparently it does. I'm missing something. But yeah,
Like an
that's the
opponent's card ended up in my deck box before, like
Wait.
just accidentally.
Really?
Yeah, just like if your cards are on the table and you're cleaning up quickly or just not paying attention, if you have similar color or the same color sleeves, it's pretty easy to do. I don't know, maybe other people will hear that and be like, "Oh my gosh, Aaron, that's not easy to do at all." But it's happened to me like maybe once or twice.
I don't know. Maybe I'm too possessive. Maybe it's like the only child in me that's like, these are my cards and they're coming back to me like every time. All right. Are you ready to get into the main topic for today, which is representation in the TCG? So I think this is a good discussion to continue after you're on the Tag Team podcast last week. And for anyone who hasn't listened to that, go back and listen to it. It was a great episode. We're going to start with the initiative just in case anyone hasn't heard about it. So the first thing I want to talk about is, what is Palette of Friends? As like a spark notes of what's going on.
Friends is an initiative. That's what I'm calling it because it's sort of like this overarching umbrella for a bunch of projects that I want to do or aspire to do. And the main goal of the initiative is to put more women and players of marginalized gender identities at top tables in Pokemon to inspire and empower people like them to play competitively.
So when did this kick off, and what did you kick off with?
Yeah, so I had this idea over the summer, and at first I was like, maybe this is stupid. And I brought it to a couple friends, and they really liked the idea. And so I kind of just fleshed it out. And I want to had my initial inspiration for this project, or for this initiative rather, was the first project, which is kicking off this week, actually. It is a I've had a bunch of coaches come to me, people who coach professionally in the TCG and have donated their time to coach women and players of marginalized genders for a free hour.
Oh, I was going to say, how many people did you have sign up, if you're willing to divulge that, in the first wave?
I knew that I could take 25 applicants based on coaches who offered to donate more than just the hour. You know, the hour was required of all the coaches, but if they wanted to do more, they could, and a bunch of people volunteered to do more. So because of that, I was able to take 25. And because I knew that was the maximum, I did not want to vet applications on any basis other than, like, I anticipated maybe getting a troll response or something like that. And so I kind of watched the applications as they built in, or as they came in, rather, and just, you know, glanced at them to make sure they were authentic. And as soon as we hit 25 authentic applications, I closed the application process and started a waiting list. And I was very amazed that it only took one day to get 25 applicants. Yeah. So I think that that was like a testament to its popularity. So 25 may not be the biggest number you've ever heard, but it's certainly quite a bit for any kind of project like this. And the fact that it filled up so quickly, I think, is just amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. Like, I'm super happy to hear that, because it's one of those things that, you know, that people are out there who want to be a part of this program. It's a matter of, did they find, and clearly they found it immediately, which is amazing.
I only announced it on Twitter. But I'm really grateful to people like Andrew Mahone and Frosty Caribou, who all posted it in their own communities, which really helped spread the word. I think that was really awesome and helped bring in a lot of new people. And I really only had to announce it in one place.
So 25 filled up fast, which is amazing. But I have the question of, what's next? Because you said you have other plans. I'm really curious. Where is this going to go?
Kind of where I'm at right now. I want to do more coaching projects. I just think that that has the best impact. I can already tell, if anything, that it's just such a morale booster for these people. And for me, too. And I think for other people that, you know, may not have felt that they needed the coaching, but felt very inspired by this project. I think that that in itself is just made me feel really good for the first time in a really long time. And, you know, moving forward, I really just want to see what other resources I can provide. Another thing that I've noticed that I didn't really think about before now is just how cost prohibitive the game can be, or even overwhelming. Let's say you have the money to get the cards that you need on PTCGO, which is really like necessary for practicing if you're not someone who lives in an area where you can go and play with other people frequently. But I've noticed just in doing this project, because Celio's network was kind enough to donate some codes for decks for players that didn't have any. And honestly, just being able to give people that much, just something to get their competitive journey started, I think has shown a really great impact. And I would love to do something where I was able to provide free resources or additional free resources for people to help them, you know, even further, get further rather in the game.
I love that so much. Like, everything is just like, it sounds so amazing. Are, as far as like future things beyond coaching, and I'm pulling from VGC now, so you might not have even thought about this stuff, though I know you've definitely seen some of the initiatives that VGC has done. Is there going to be like, and do you know where this is going?
Yeah. Are you going to ask me, is there going to be a women's cup or a women and marginalized players cup?
That was going to be one of them. Yes.
I would really, really love to do that. A while back, I hope that I'm not like divulging any sensitive information, but a while back, Limitless asked a partner with me to do something like that. And we just couldn't really get the right feel for it. And so we just, we just decided not to do it. So both them and then the Hattering series in VGC reached out to me. So I'd love to do something as far as highlighting women in the game, as well as players of marginalized genders. And so I think that, you know, we get these coaching sessions through. These players have now, you know, gotten a few tools that they need to get their competitive journey started. We'll give them a couple months, and then maybe, you know, in the spring or the summer, we can see about doing an online series. I think that that's definitely something that is possible in the future. It's always difficult because you have to, when you're hosting an online series, that is, you know, the intention is to highlight specific players. I think the biggest issue that we ran into is that, do you make it like an invitational style where you invite specific people? And that's really difficult because not everybody wants to do you know, a highlighted tournament like that where the spotlight is really on them. Mm-hmm. Or do you make it like just a anybody of these identities can compete, which obviously, you know, kind of leaning more towards that direction. But I'd love to have something where people who have been through the coaching can compete in sort of like a hybrid of those two types of tournaments, if that makes sense. Sorry.
No, that totally makes sense. So it sounds like there's like a couple ideas that nothing's into fruition yet, but it's like one for people who've been through the coaching process, but also one of like, can we do a bigger thing and will people respond well to it? As far as like signing up, not the community. Because I hope the community will respond well.
Yeah. And sorry, I didn't mean to name drop so many people. I'm just grateful that they, you know, both Limitless and Hattering were so supportive of just me in general as an advocate, but as well as like this initiative when I announced it. So I'm not trying to say that we are doing or we're partnering with it, any of that. I didn't mean to mislead in that way. Just wanted to shout them out because I appreciate their support.
No, and these are definitely great shout outs too, even if there's no like official partnership, because like I know the demographic breakdown of the podcast, and there is a pretty sizable margin of people who identify as women or other. I mean, that's what Spotify tells me, so sorry, but identifies as anything other than male. And it's enough that just letting people know, like, hey, the Hattering Cup exists, or what is the official name? Do you know it off the top of your head?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's just Hattering.
Okay. Because I see their stuff across all the time on Twitter, and it's always is so cool. And it's like, why doesn't TCG have one of those? It's always one of those things like, I'm a straight cis dude. Like, I can't touch any of this stuff, unfortunately. So it's so great to hear how you're just like, yeah, let's get this done.
I took quite a bit of inspiration from the Hattering series for sure. Just watching that happen, lit a lot of fire in me to do something similar in TCG.
As far as like community as well. So coaching's great, but is there also like, let's say someone's listening to this and they weren't able to get into that 25. Is there going to be like a Discord or anything, or like some other form of community that you're planning for everyone to be able to get together for this?
Yeah, that's definitely something that's been floated around as well. I do not think I have the capacity to moderate something that large though.
Yeah, very fair. And so,
yeah, I work a 9-to-5. I very much appreciate my free time, though I don't mind donating some of it to help the greater good, so to speak. But it's just at this point in time, in this point in my life, I just don't have the capacity to be able to moderate something that big, but I would love to do something like that in the future. So if anybody is listening, and you are a woman or someone who identifies as a, you know, non-cis man, I would love to talk to you about possibly creating some sort of online community, because I know that personally, it's so much more comfortable to ask someone who understands your perspective specifically for resources, because it's very intimidating. I felt very intimidated as a woman coming into this very largely cis male community. So just having other people like you to be able to ask questions to, I think is super important. So if anybody would like to do that, let me know.
So if anyone out there is listening and is like, I'm interested in that, I can help with the Discord, I know my way around that, or whatever the other... Discord's the only one I know. There's probably a million other things out there. Be sure to hit up Dumb Librarian on Twitter for any ideas, inspiration for that stuff. And I do have to say, I completely understand the, like, intimidation of this community, because there's just, like, a lot of just, like, I don't know if dude energy is the right word, but it was something I didn't realize until my wife came to Worlds with me. And, you know, we did the opening ceremony. It was great. And then she's kind of like hanging around the first few rounds. And after a couple, she's just like, everything here is bad. These people are just rude around me. And it was like, it's kind of that opened my eyes of like, oh, yeah, wait, I can't look through this through my eyes. I have to look through this through the lens of like everyone else in the world and how we can perceive ourselves at a large event like that.
Yeah, it's definitely very uncomfortable at times to be a woman. Like, just, it's just intimidating is just the perfect word for it.
Yeah.
Because you know that you stick out in the crowd, and I think that that's the biggest thing.
So, I have a question that I kind of go off of that as, again, I've identified, you know, my pronouns are he, him, they're on my Twitter. I am a cis male. But what are things that myself or other people like myself can do to help people who are women or identify as any other, you know, non-cis male gender?
Yeah, I know that we're going to do questions later, but Mia just put an excellent question in the chat that really, really applies to this topic. Mm-hmm. And it's, how do we feel about the lack of women represented on all podcasts, unless the episode is about how women aren't represented? And I think that that hits the nail on the head. I think that, you know, part of the issue there, and I'm speaking from personal experience, I've been invited on many, many podcasts to talk about Pokemon, not just women in the community. I have a lot of personal anxiety issues, and so I don't really like to discuss Pokemon strategy in depth because I'm very worried about the way that I'm perceived and sounding unintelligent and all of that. And that, those are all personal issues. And so I think that a lot of that would be eased by part of the community changing for sure. Mm-hmm. But again, that's all personal. It's very difficult to be put on like a pedestal as like a tokenized person. And so that's a reason why I've personally found it hard to partner with other women, as well as why I've said no to doing podcasts in the past, is that pressure. But that being said, I think people like you, Kevin, people who have, you know, large social media platforms, podcasts, YouTube channels, you know, I think of Celio's network with his meta discussions. I think that something that all of you can do as content creators is just ask as many women as you possibly know, hey, would you like to come on and talk about Pokemon cards? Because the more, like what Mia is saying here, is that the more that we see women in contexts of, you know, competitive notoriety, not just notoriety for their advocacy, but competitive notoriety, is really going to encourage more people like women and players of marginalized genders to play the game.
I love that.
Because it's not, you know, my project aims to put more of those people at top tables. And I think that featuring them on things like podcasts will also accomplish that same goal.
Oh, for sure. It's always such a big deal of like seeing people and being like, oh yeah, this is someone else. This is someone who looks like me. It's always such a big deal. Everyone in the world, really. It's something that some of us don't dawn on, because I'm like, everyone looks like me. I'm a generic white guy. But like, it matters a lot to be like, okay, they can do it, I can do it. So I love that so much. It's definitely something any content creators out there listening, including myself, should be taking note of for sure.
Yes, that's something that I've said for a really long time. I touched on it a little bit in a post I made for International Women's Day back in March. And it's just, you know, feature more women in things. Like, I know that sometimes people criticize film and TV shows and all that for doing that, but it is so important for people to see other people that look like them, you know, in these roles that they respect.
Shout out to the Bechdel test still being relevant however many years later.
I know. It's not, you know, and it's not a perfect measurement either, but it really does shed a lot of light on some of our greater issues in society for sure.
Yes. So hopefully it's one of those things that we can start to figure out a little bit more. Is there anything else that is like, even if it's just like mellow, you gotta do this stuff. Like, is there anything else that we can do through actions, et cetera, to help the situation?
Yeah, I'll forever use my own personal experiences as examples. You know, don't put up with things in private that you wouldn't put up with in public. We all know someone that makes uncomfortable comments. And whether you're the person that's like, or the person who, you know, kind of just ignores and is nonchalant about it, you know, call out your friends. You're going to have the biggest impact on them. I think that when it comes to sexism and abuse based on gender, we all know people who contribute to negative stereotypes about people in private. And I personally know people that I could probably afford to stand up to more. Just hold your friends accountable and remind them that, you know, even joking in private, I think that's the biggest thing in gaming communities, is that so much of this behavior is happening behind closed doors, and then it just kind of permeates into the public. And I think the more that we hold our friends accountable, the better that will be.
And as someone who's had to do that before, there are some strategies that you can definitely do, because it's uncomfortable, right? Of be like, I'm friends with this person. They made a comment. Maybe they're an okay person. It's an off comment. Even if that is true, there's always stuff you can do. And it can be as simple as, you know, bro, that's not cool. I've never had a person be like, respond back as that. They kind of like have that like, oh, wait, yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? It's just like something as simple as like, no, that's not funny. And people will always respond to that. And if they don't respond to that, then there's like other things of like, why am I hanging out with you? You know, that's going to come up with that. So there are these little strategies of just like a very simple comment of just like, no, don't say that, or this isn't cool, can go a really, really long way and prevent that stuff from actually going out into the world or permeating other people who might be afraid to speak up, might be like, oh, everyone else is kind of okay with this right now. So yeah, all this stuff is like, call your friends out is one of the best things to do. And if you're not comfortable calling out your friends, just kind of ask yourself like, wait, why am I hanging with these people? Like, why am I here? Why are these who I consider friends if I don't feel comfortable with them in that manner?
You know, most of the time, you know, I always tell my friends that I'm grateful that I have the kind of friends that will tell me when I'm wrong, because my friends certainly tell me when I'm wrong. If I'm taking something too far, I'm being oversensitive about something, my friends will always tell me. And I would rather surround myself by people like that for sure.
Oh, 100%. I mean, this isn't like a friendship podcast, but I mean, it feels like it's one of those things that like, as I've aged, I've learned more about like what exactly it means to surround yourself with friends and people who have been around there for a while. And it's like, I mean, that's just one of those things where like being able to say to a friend, like, I appreciate you for being my friend is such a big deal, because it's like just these little things of like, OK, I'm there for you and I'm giving you what you need. You give me what I need. And sometimes that's calling out each other on their BS, because you need someone to do it, because a stranger is probably not going to do it. And you're not going to listen if they do.
Very, very true. I think that that kind of just ties back into my point. Friends have the biggest impact. And you have the best influence over the people that care about your opinion, which are always going to be your close friends.
Which is one of the beautiful parts of this program. Just let people know, like, hey, there's a community out there, and then let everyone go beat each other in a tournament, because that's somehow one of the best ways to make friends. I don't know if you felt that way before, but I sure have.
Yeah, no, I, it's funny, like, I think part of advocacy or part of being an advocate for something, you have to focus so much on so much of the negative. But the Pokemon community has given me so many positive things, and the friends are always going to be number one on that list. Like, I've just made lifelong friendships through this game, and I don't think I would have been able to stomach some of the negative if it weren't for my friends who have my back or in my corner, as well just as the people that have stuck up for me over the years and everything. Like, I love this community. I wouldn't be here trying to make it better if I didn't care about it.
Yes, I think a lot of us out here, and for those of you who haven't been a part of the community yet, we'll probably have similar stories. So don't let today's theme be a little like, oh, what's happening in the Pokemon community? It's not perfect. It's definitely not perfect. It's nowhere near that. But there's a lot of good. We're just hoping to make it better. And Aaron, I really appreciate that you are kind of leading some of that charge, because we need someone to do it. And I'm glad that you're willing to be the face of everything going on right now.
I love that we're having this conversation not after something negative has happened.
Yes.
It often feels like these podcast episodes happen after something really horrific happens, and I think that it's so important to continue the conversation no matter what, not just when everybody's freshly angry about it.
And that's one of those, after hearing the tag team podcast last week, it was kind of like, we just have to keep this and also kind of bombard everyone with it, because the members of the community who aren't comfortable with it, at a certain point it's like it's everywhere, and I'm hoping that they have to confront, like, hey, this is a real thing that we have to consider, the lack of representation in the PTCG community. Because there are, I mean, arguably, not arguably, the best senior who is now going to be one of the best masters is a woman. Like, Kaya is ridiculously good, right? And that's not even counting everyone else in the world who is incredibly good. Like, she's going to be in your face and she's going to beat you. And so we have to, like, imagine if all the other Kaias of the world were lifted up and like, hey, play the game too. And the top tables would look so, so, so different if that happened.
Yeah. I remember, like, the pandemic has really accelerated a lot of things.
Yes.
Like, I remember in 2019, everybody was like, oh, it's a good thing Kaya's a few years off from Masters because they're really scared when she gets here. And now, you know, the pandemic has accelerated so much that it's here.
Yep.
We're almost. And I think that that's, I'm excited personally.
I mean, it's hard not to be. Like, she was just so dominant. It's like, she went UIC this year, and I don't think I would be particularly shocked, which is a terrifying thought that someone is that good and, like, that young at the game. That's the biggest thing there. Like, you're half my age. Why are you so much better than me? Are you ready to do a couple questions from Twitch chat?
Oop. Oh, can you hear me?
There we go. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Are you ready to do a couple questions from Twitch chat?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. We're going to come back to the one I preempted you with, because I think that might require a little more thought. So,
yes.
Ozzy asks, why are corgis the best doggos?
Because they have the best smiles. They're always smiling. Also because Ruthie belongs to the corgi species and deserves everything, because she's the best dog in the whole world. Even though my picture is Mateo the pug right now.
Okay, I was about to ask. So for anyone watching on YouTube, you can see it, or anyone on Twitch right now. Aaron's Discord image is Mateo, which is, I believe, Isaiah's pug.
Actually, Mateo belongs to Bart.
Oh.
Do you know Bart?
I do, yes. It's been such a meme that I don't know who owns Mateo, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, Mateo is the second best dog in the world, but he is the family dog of Bart Musser.
Okay, right on. But I'm glad you are a corgi fan. That is rather so freaking cute. I don't have any because I cannot find any, unfortunately. They get scooped up very fast in Seattle. Anytime they are anywhere.
If you want a Ruthie sibling, I can get you her contact information.
Do they ship?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I would think she would, though. She's been doing it for like 30 years.
Oh, cool. Maybe. Maybe. I'll talk to the wife about that one. Sir Pandage asks, what's a cool librarian fact?
A cool librarian fact that fits in with the theme of today's episode is that 70% of the profession is women.
That's a fun fact. I'm trying to think of now every librarian I've ever had in school or seen at public libraries.
And Melville Duke was also a staunch sexist. Ironically enough, there's like a big push to get the Dewey Decimal System renamed because he was a huge misogynist.
Let's go. So was it one of the situations of like the history of libraries, like the history of education, where like women are the ones doing most of the work, but the top was still mostly men?
Yeah, essentially. Like we just a couple years ago got our first female librarian of Congress.
Let's go. That's took way too freaking long, but also, I guess.
Yes.
United States, yeah.
She is also the first Black librarian of Congress, which is awesome.
Also took too long, but still.
Yes.
Very big first. Next question. Stellar Wish Gaming asks, oh, this is a specific question. Out of these Taylor Swift albums, which one is your favorite? Red, 1989, Reputation, or Lover?
Oh my god, that is a hard question.
Or do you want to like split it up between multiple?
Yeah. If I had to answer which one of those albums I've been listening to most recently currently, it's actually Reputation, because I did not give it much of a chance. But there's a lot of really relatable themes just from my personal life in that record. So I really like it for that reason. 1989 was like super revolutionary for Taylor Swift. But if I had to pick a favorite of all of those choices, I would say that Red is my favorite. And I'm not just saying that because Taylor's version just came out. I'm saying that because it's a really great album. And it's probably the album that made me like Taylor Swift the most.
I'm currently looking these up on Spotify because I don't know which is which. The normal thing is I walk into the bedroom before bed and my wife's listening to something. And it's occasionally T-Swift.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love 22. I'm so basic. All right. Red, literally just for that one song, might be there.
Red also has All Too Well on it, which is like commonly regarded as her best song. I don't know if that's like a controversial thing. I just often see people cite that as their favorite song.
I'm wondering if I know it. Is it one of those that I definitely know?
Someone in chat said Red is just all bangers, which I feel like is just the perfect way to describe it and why I would rank it as number one on that list.
I know. I mean, I'm going to take your word for that one. This is one where I should have explored a bit because I guarantee you I know most of these things, most of these songs. So I'm agree with you. That works. Mr. Darth Bean asked, last question. What is your favorite card you own for not TCG reasons?
My favorite card I own. Can I pick something from Alex's collection? Does that count? No, I guess I should do one for my own collection. I have I have two copies of this card. One of them Alex got me for Christmas last year, graded. I think it's like an 8 or a 9. But it is the Mudkip promo that they gave out when Poke Park was opened in Japan. There was a log flume ride, and the log, like the little boat things that you ride in, were shaped like Mudkips.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if they gave it out in general or just at opening day, but they gave out these promos that have Mudkip basically like swimming down a waterfall, and I own two copies of the card, but one of them is graded. I think that would have to be my favorite card. It's really not even that much of an expensive card. It's just kind of cool.
Do you plan to go to Poke Park?
It's closed.
Wait, what? Did I?
Yeah. I think like there's some rumor that they're building something at Universal in Japan, but I believe that it is closed. I don't even know if it's called Poke Park. That might not even been the name of it, but there was like a Pokemon theme.
That's what I'm thinking of. The unopened thing is okay. So they had something and then they got rid of it. I'm out of the loop. Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the pictures of Hulk Hogan with Mudkip? Like the person dresses Mudkip?
No, I have not. I don't know how I haven't seen that.
I swear I haven't made that up, but I'm pretty sure that was taken there.
That's definitely something I will Google that one and see if I can post it in the chat. Because that sounds amazing. Oh my gosh, it is a thing. Hulk Hogan, and there's a Treecko there as well. That's a Treecko, right? I'm like 90% sure that's a Treecko.
Is it green?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Same generation. I always choose the water starter, so all the other starters are irrelevant to me.
True.
Oh, do you agree?
Great answer.
Okay, let's go. A fellow water supporter, that should be the only question. So, Aaron, if they want more from you, where can they find you?
Mainly on Twitter. My username, like we said earlier, is dumb_librarian. I did try to get Neat Arena by submitting a form through Twitter, and they said no.
I've heard it's an issue to actually get anything, so good luck.
Yeah. And the person who has Neat Arena hasn't done anything on Twitter in 7 years, which is the most frustrating part of it. And they do not have DMs open, sadly.
That's good luck. That's all I'll say to that one. I hope Twitter does something about this. Because you're not the only person who's like, the account hasn't been used in a decade. Why is it not mine?
I agree.
Although, to say, I really like your handle. It's a very straightforward, but also universal.
Yeah, thank you.
And then, of course, myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mello_Magikarp. Remember to rate and review the show, assuming you have good things to say. Or if you have constructive things to say, Twitter DMs are open. Let me know anything else you want or suggestions for guests. Maybe today's episode made you think like, Mello, you should have this person on. DM me. I am open to suggestions. This has been another episode of... the Lake of Rage podcast. Catch you all next week.